is sort of moving away from that series and just look at genuine willingness to follow Jesus. So that's the title of today's sharing. Amen. Genuine willingness to serve Jesus. Amen. Now, what is genuine willingness to follow Jesus? Not to save, but to follow Jesus. What is genuine willingness for us to follow Jesus? That's the question that I'm posing as I lay out the foundation of our today's sharing. This is just more than coming to church as Crossways church members. It's more than reading the Word of God. It's more than having group cells. It's more than praying to God alone. This is giving you our hearts totally unto God. Amen. Where we submit. Because God does not look at what we are doing outside. Amen. He looks at the condition of our hearts. That's where he's interested in. Amen. And we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of God. But the main bedroom where he resides in our lives is the heart. Amen. Total submission to the Lord is very important. And let's just look at the Word of God coming from 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. Hope Sister Pam managed to bring it. Thank you so much, Sister Pam. She did it just this morning, and my apologies once again for giving you the pointers. The Bible says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider the appearance of the man." Amen. Height. Amen. "For I've rejected him." The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Amen. This is the time that Samuel was asked by Lord, or assigned by God, to go and anoint David. Amen. To take over from King Saul because of his disobedience to God. Amen. But the main thing here is, I'm trying to point you to say, the most important thing in our desire for God, desire for Jesus Christ as Crossways Church, is we have to give our hearts totally unto God, unto Jesus. Then we can follow him. Amen. Jesus is interested in our hearts, that we register our willingness to serve and to follow him. Amen. If we reflect in our lives as individuals or as families, we'll discover that we are not innocent victims of whatever we may be going through today. Whatever situation that is coming our way, or even as a nation in South Africa, with all these bad things that are happening, of course there are some goods that are happening, but bad things that have been disappointments with the leadership, all this evil news, what's happening in Escort where people are eating human flesh and all those things. We have to look at them very closely and we'll find that we are the cause of all these things. And it's only Jesus Christ who can rescue us from the consequences of these mistakes that we've been making. And we need to give him our hearts. We need to totally submit to him and to follow him, that we may have peace, the peace that he promised. Amen. Now, in today's sharing, we are going to look at three characters in the Bible. Three characters, or three stories. And before we look at these stories, I just want to remind you to say, during the ministry of Jesus Christ, or during the time that Jesus was on earth, there were so many people that were following him. There were so many people that were attending his preaching, amen, or sermons, be it on Mount Sinai, be it at the lake. But the one thing that we should know is not everyone that is attending Jesus' services were there to listen to him. Some were attending those services as people that are just watching what's happening. Others were sent to as spies to say, let's see what he's going to do today and find a fault to accuse him so that we can eliminate him. Others were going there maybe because they had someone who was in need. Somebody was sick or somebody who was going through some tribulation and they wanted deliverance. And they had to take a person to Jesus. While others were going there with the purpose of seeking the face of God. They were going to listen to the word of God to say, this man, yes, they are condemning him. This man, yes, they are blaming him to say it's disobedience, he's not observing the Sabbath. And they were giving him all sorts of accusations. And some, because they had personal need, they wanted Jesus' help for them to be free. Amen. So we can identify four types of people. Amen. So in other words, some are just going there as onlookers to see what's up, to watch, others to blame him, to find faults in him, but others, they were there to go and listen to the word of God. And those who had genuine willingness to receive from him, they got what they wanted. Amen. Let's just look at three characters in the Bible that I picked to demonstrate to us the genuine willingness to receive and to follow Jesus. The first one is a rich man that's coming from Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Verse 17 to 23, and it reads as follows. To those who didn't come with Bibles, you can read from the slide. Verse 17 says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. Verse 19, which is one of the key verses for this passage. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. And you shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. Now listen to the response of this rich man. The so-called rich man who had probably everything. Teacher, he declared, all these I've kept since I was a boy. Amen. That was his response to say, all these commandments you are reminding me about, I've been following them, I've been keeping them. Amen. I've been obedient to them. See, from my childhood up to now. And Jesus, because he does not look at the outward appearance, amen, he looked at him and loved him. Hallelujah. He looked at this rich man and loved him. Wow, excellent. If you are able to follow these commandments, then you are my man. Amen. But one thing you lack, he responded to. He advised him, go sell everything you have and give to the poor. And you have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. At this, the man's face unfortunately went down. Amen. He went away sad because he had great wealth. That was the area that he was lacking. Amen. Verse 23 says, Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Amen. Verse 24, the disciples were amazed at this word, but Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person or someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. This is a man who had everything. And on top of that, he was boasting to say, he is following all the commandments that Jesus outlined to him. He showed commitment. But one thing that he did not have was the spirit of giving, spirit of sharing. Amen. And that was the great mistake that he had in his life. He missed an opportunity to receive salvation even at the point when he had an encounter with Jesus. Amen. Because all along he was just accumulating wealth. Amen. And he probably had workers or servants. And, you know, sometimes when you've got a lot of money and you've got a spirit of greediness, even to give 10 rand to someone, you think you are sort of tempering with your investment because you've got bigger plan, a so-called bigger picture for the money. Amen. But he did not know that that was the snare in his life. This man missed an opportunity to receive salvation and to follow Jesus because he was not willing to give to the poor. This man was not willing to share his wealth because it was greed. And the same greed and the love of money was a snare to his freedom. Amen. It was a snare for him to receive proper salvation and to follow Jesus. Because of his stinginess, he could not follow Jesus. He looked down and walked away, a very disappointed person. Because someone mentioned something that has been treasured in Ione to say, I need this man. I need to make a million by the end of 2017. I need to make maybe 10 billion. Probably go and invest in some. But this person is telling me to go and give it to the poor. Who is he? He had to walk away. He did not submit. Or he did not the heart of that genuine willingness to say, Lord, I give you what I have. Or I'm going to give to the poor what I have. Because when we give to the poor, we are giving unto the Lord. Amen. He refused to do that. Today we need to look as Christians at Crossways, or even those that are outside this church, as Christians, we need to look at ourselves and to see where are we falling short in our desire to follow Jesus as Christians. In our walk in following Jesus or receiving Jesus, where are we falling short? We have to identify the snares that we may have. Small snares. That's what, you know, when the sister, what's her name again? She was giving, how can I forget? And I'm sorry. She was giving a testament to say, we have to look at our life in detail, small details in our lives, how Jesus help in our lives. Small things, they are very important. You may think I've got everything, I've got good health and all that, but we may forget that we've got one small mistake that can be a hindrance in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. So with this man, the stinginess that he had affected his life. Even within us today, let us try to look at our lives. Is it within our families that we are disobeying God? Is it within our marriages? Is it within our business? Is it within our career, school, or any other area of our lives where we are not serving God with all our hearts, where we are not helping the people of God, where we are not being a blessing or instrument of a blessing in our walk with Jesus, in our desire to follow Jesus? And that could be a snare to retard or to hinder our relationship with God. So Jesus is able to see the condition of our hearts, like I said. He looked at this rich man. He looked at him, but he saw something that he was missing in his heart to say, yes, you may have everything, but the snare to your freedom, if you could only go and give the wealth to the poor, and then come and follow me, you'll be my true disciple. And unfortunately, he could not obey Jesus. He just walked away. Let's look at another character in the Bible. And this character is called Zacchaeus, coming from the book of Luke chapter 19, verse 1 to 9. Quickly, thank you. Now Jesus entered Jericho and was just passing through, and a man there by the name of Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector and very wealthy man, Verse 3, he wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, could not see over the crowd. Verse 4, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see Jesus, since Jesus was coming that way. Verse 5, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Verse 6, so he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter or to murmur. He has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to Jesus, Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if you have cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times their amount. Verse 9, Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. Verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Amen. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Now, we can see the contrast from the rich man who met Jesus first and who wanted to know what he should do to follow Jesus, and to Zacchaeus. Amen. The Bible says this man was rich. He was working for SARS. He was the chief or the commission of SARS and earning a lot of money. Amen. But he was a sinner. Probably in the way he was doing his work, he was defrauding people, maybe asking people to pay more than that they were supposed to pay. Amen. And that was too bad for him, because he was cheating. And when he heard that Jesus is coming, passing through Jericho, he made up his mind to say, today I have to meet this Jesus. Amen. Because he was troubled with the snare of being a con man. You remember when Jesus met the rich man, one of the things that he mentioned for him to follow Jesus, besides adultery, cheating and stealing, was to say, don't fraud. Don't do what? Fraud. And this is what this guy was doing, Zacchaeus. Amen? Zacchaeus was stealing. Now, he said, enough is enough. Today I have to meet this Jesus. Unfortunately, Zacchaeus was disabled. Besides being a sinner, he was also disabled. Very short man. He was a dwarf. And when he saw Jesus, he heard and he knew to say, this man is followed by a lot of people. And because he was disabled, he arose to say, for me to see this Jesus, I need to have a plan. What plan should I have? Because I'm disabled, I'm a dwarf, I won't be able to see him. Amen. He had to climb a tree. And not just a tree, but a very big tree. Amen. Why? Because he wanted to see Jesus. So Zacchaeus aimed to reach high so that he'll be able to see Jesus. And unlike the rich man, Zacchaeus humbled himself by acknowledging the sins that he's been making, that he's been defrauding people. Amen. When Jesus was passing and he saw him on the tree, he called him, according to the Bible, we've read that. But Zacchaeus had made up his mind to say, today it's my day. Amen. Through his genuine willingness to follow, he said, today is my day. And he said, I'm going to make up for all the sins that I've committed. One, from now on, Jesus, I surrender to you. How do we confirm his total surrender to Jesus? Because he said, everything that I have, today I'm willing to give back. Amen. I'm willing to give back to those people that had defrauded. And Jesus, because he looks at the condition of our hearts. He looked at the condition of the heart of Zacchaeus, and he sort of said, this man is now giving his life to God on a serious note. And he said, today I'm going to have lunch at your house. I'm going to have a meal with you at your house. I'm not just going to give you salvation here and continue, but I'm coming to your house. Amen. Why? Because Zacchaeus submitted to God with all his heart. Not just by making people aware, those who were following him, to say, this is what Zacchaeus has done. He has found himself guilty and he submitted. No. He gave his commitment to say, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've been doing. I surrender to you. Today, everything that I have, I'm giving to them. And those that I've been stealing from, I'm ready to give them four times. Zacchaeus was willing to start a new life. Now, because of Zacchaeus' genuine willingness to receive Jesus, he ended up hosting who? Jesus. But there were some people that were murmuring to say, how can Jesus go and have a meal at a place of a sinner? Amen. Instead of rejoicing, and these are the people that were listening to the word of God when Jesus was preaching somewhere, they saw the miracles that he performed. But at that point when they met a sinner, instead of rejoicing to say, he is a sinner, the person who has been stealing from us, they started murmuring. And that indicates to us to say, in our lives, in our walk, or as we desire to follow Jesus, expect people to criticize you. Not everyone is going to be happy with what you have. Not everyone is going to be happy that you are a child of God, that you are a woman of God, that you are a servant of God. There will be some people that will be looking faults in you so that you don't have that total relationship with Jesus. And we have to be on the lookout. But the beauty is, we have to ignore them. Amen. Whoever is interfering with your relationship with Jesus, ignore them. Zacchaeus did that. He went ahead and prepared for Jesus to come to his home. Amen. He prepared for Jesus, and Jesus went to his home. The beauty is, not only Zacchaeus was saved, the entire household was saved because of the commitment of one person. Amen. Was willing to surrender to God genuinely without pretending. Amen. The third character we see in the Bible who is demonstrating genuine willingness to follow Jesus is blind man Bartimaeus from Mark chapter 10 verse 46 to 52. Quickly, 46 says, when they came to Jericho, remember Jesus was passing through Jericho, now they came to Jericho, as Jesus and his disciples together with a large crowd were leaving the city, a blind man Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, I don't know, was sitting by the roadside begging. He was just a blind man. Anyway, 47, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Son of David, have mercy on me. Many people rebuked him. Amen. To be quiet, but he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and called him. So they called the blind man, cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. 51, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man answered, Rabbi, I want to see. 52, go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus. Unlike the rich man, this story is similar to Zacchaeus. This person was blind and is an adult. We don't know the cause, whether he acquired his blindness in adulthood or from infancy, or it was a congenital something that he was born with. But he was suffering for too long. He heard that Jesus is coming also, And he strategically went to stand at the roadside, or to sit at the roadside. And when Jesus, the Bible says, when Jesus came to the point where he was, he started calling. Of course, he was blind, he couldn't see Jesus, but he could hear the people talking, the voices around. And he started crying to Jesus from his heart. Amen. From his heart. You can imagine, this was a huge crowd according to the Bible. So even if someone will say, Jesus, have mercy on me, Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus could not pick up. For him to draw the attention of God, he must have cried from his heart. Amen. He might have cried from, not just from his voice, from his heart. And that, you know, made Jesus to identify, to say, there's someone who is calling, who is desperate, asking for me to touch him. Amen. And that's why Jesus heard his voice and came close, because of his genuine willingness to receive Jesus. He had hunger for God. He had that passion to say, today is my day, Lord, I'm giving you my heart, I'm giving you my life. Amen. And Jesus answered his prayer. Amen. There were so many people at that time that had a need. Amen. It's not recorded. There were so many people that were sick at that time. But Jesus, because of his commitment and his faithfulness in calling the name Jesus, in asking for mercy, he received his sight. Jesus came closer to him to say, what can I do for you? He says, I want to see. I want to have sight. And Jesus said, because of what? Your faith. Not because of his calling. Not because of his loud voice. But because of his faith. Jesus healed him. And he met him at his point of need. Amen. Because of his genuineness. What can we learn from this scripture? The blind man was looking out to meet Jesus. He was desperate. Amen. And willing to receive freedom from Jesus. We have to have desperation as children of God, for God. Amen. We need to be desperate. We need to be desperate. We don't have to be, you know, forcing ourselves even to pray, even to read the word of God. We should have that hunger, strong thirst for Jesus, so that he can meet us at our point of need. The other thing, the blind man, when he heard Jesus passing, he remembered to say, if I don't make an effort today to meet Jesus, I'm going to miss this opportunity. Today we've got an opportunity. We are in the house of the Lord. Today we are saved. We are saying we are children of God. But let's not miss this opportunity when we are still living, to draw a special attention of God into our lives, that Jesus can make a difference. And people are going to say, indeed, this person is a child of God. Indeed, this person is a true servant of God. Indeed, this person is indeed a friend of Jesus, because of what is happening in our lives when we totally submit to God. Amen. Despite the people that were distracting him, who were telling him to stop making noise, there are some people that were telling him to say, hey, you are making noise, stop what that, trying to quieten him, but he ignored them, just like Zacchaeus. Amen. He ignored them. He continued even to scream on a louder voice to draw the attention of God, to say, Lord, here I am. Today is my day. I want to meet you. I want to follow you, because my heart is bleeding for you. My heart is thirst for you. And when he got his sight, the Bible said, he rejoiced and he followed who? Jesus. Lessons we can learn from these three scriptures that we need to hunger for Jesus in our lives. Let's hunger for Jesus in our lives. Number two, we need to have good attitude. Amen. If we have good attitude, We can change our circumstance today. Whether we are sick, whether we are living in poverty, whether we are afflicted, whether we are going through difficult times, tribulation, or any form of attack, our good attitude can change our circumstance. We should not allow emotions or feelings to control our circumstance. If we look at the life of Job in the Bible, Job of the Bible, it's because of his good attitude to what was happening to him that he had to hang on, despite of all the attacks that he went through. You know, the loss of his wealth, the loss of his good health, the loss of friends that deserted him. Amen. But because of his good attitude, he stood the test of tribulations, and God rewarded him for that, because he did not turn away from God. He continued trusting in God. Number three, we need to be obedient. Amen. Obedient is key. The Bible says obedient is better than what? Sacrifice. We need to obey God. When it's time, when God is telling us something, we need to obey God. And we have to be sensitive to the voice of God. We need to read the word of God and obey what it says. We need to have a sensitive ear. When God is whispering something, we need to obey as children of God. And I liked the testimony this morning, when people are encouraging us to be prayerful all the time, that we need to pray. Amen. Even when we are eating, even when we are going on a trip, even when I'm celebrating a birthday today, like those who are celebrating the birthday today or this week, we need to pray and thank God. Amen. That's a sign of what? Obedient to God. Why? There are so many people that have died they couldn't see this day. There are so many people that are involved in accidents because we ignore even to pray when we are starting on a journey. There are so many people that are suffering because of lack of what? Ignorance. I mean, lack of the knowledge of God. Lack of knowing the importance of trusting God or praying before doing anything. Obeying God is first thing that we should do, though it is hard, but it is very important in our relationship with God. If you look at the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, God gave them everything, amen, but because of disobedience, amen, they lost everything. God gave them things very easily on a silver. They didn't even work for them, those things. The blessing that they received, God just created them and put them in charge to say, take care of this garden. Amen. And make sure that you don't touch the fruit that is in the middle of the garden. But because it came out very freely, they didn't work for it. And they took obedience for granted, the instructions of God for granted. They lost everything within a short time. So we need to be obedient. It's very, very important as Christians. Number four, we need to have that willingness to let go of things that are not of God. Amen? In our lives. Zacchaeus realized to say, yes, he was rich, he was comfortable, had everything, he had a good, you know, job, amen, to collect tax, but he was sinning. And he had to let go all the wealth that he had accumulated through fraud. He said, I have to let go and surrender my life to Jesus. And exactly that's what we did. We need to let go. I don't know what could be a snare in your life. Is it alcohol? Is it maybe something from our hobbies or our characters or our attitude? That could be a snare. We need to let go. And so that we can surrender our lives totally to Jesus and follow him. Number four, persistence in seeking Christ. Amen. The blind man Bartimaeus has showed us something that we can learn from. He did not just call out at once. He called out to Jesus maybe three or four times and loud, and with his total submission to God. Amen. We need to be persistent. Yes, we have been coming to church. Yes, we have been praying for whatever you've been praying for, but God is waiting for his time. Amen. Because God's time is the best time. He knows why he's delaying to give us what we want. Amen. Probably he wants us to be humbled. Probably he's preparing us for something that is better than what we are asking for. Probably he's trying to teach us on how to handle what we are praying for. Amen. But we have to be persistent. I remember the story in Luke chapter 18 where a widow wanted justice. Amen. How he bothered the judge. I mean, how she bothered the judge. She went to knock on the judge. I don't know three or four times, and the judge got fed up. Amen. A judge who wasn't even a godly person. He said, no, I'm tired of this. Let me just do what she wants. But she had the heart of what? Persistence. She never gave up until she got justice that she wanted. So even with us, as we continue to follow Jesus, we need to be persistent in praying to him, trusting him, and asking things that he has promised us in his word. Not things he has not promised, because we have to align our lives to the things that are in the Bible. And the Bible should be the standard of our lives. Number four, we need to be courageous. Amen. Again, like the blind man of Bartimaeus, despite the people that were intimidating him, that wanted him to be quiet, he was courageous enough to continue crying to God, and God answered his prayer. Number five, we need to be humble. Humility is important in our desire or our willingness to follow Jesus. We need to humble ourselves. I've got a few examples here. The example of Naaman who had leprosy. Amen. We remember that story from the book of 2 Kings. You can read it. Very interesting story. 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 1 to 27. Amen. This man was sick with leprosy, but he was the man who was the commander in charge of the army, amen, under the king Aram, amen. This man, help came through who? The servant, the maiden servant in the house, the servant to the wife, who said, oh, this disease that uncle has in, that is bothering him, there is a man of God in Samaria who can help him. Please talk to him. Amen. The woman spoke to the husband, and the husband agreed because of his humility. He was tired with this condition. The man had everything. He had all the respect. He had everything that someone would want to have, but because of leprosy, he was not happy. And everyone was just thinking about when they see him is leprosy. And in those days, if someone has got leprosy, he has to be isolated. But this man was even fortunate enough to be interacting with people, even with soldiers. Amen? But because of his humility, he accepted to go and meet the man of God. The only problem that I identified in him was when he met the man of God, and the man of God, Elisha, gave him the instruction to go and dip himself in the River Jordan 7 times. I don't know what was wrong with River Jordan, the water of River Jordan. He became so sulky. Amen. I expected this man of God to come out, lay hands on me, pray to me, and declare deliverance of my life. But he just sent someone to meet me. It's not supposed to be like that. He was sulky. Amen. But his servant, by the grace and the goodness of God, he was good to his servant. One of his servants said, my boss, big man, chief, please, if this man had asked you to do anything else, were you not going to be obedient to him? And he said, yes. So why can't you just follow these instructions? Whether they are just simple instructions, go and do what he has told you to do. Because of his humility, amen, to some of us, say, you are just a servant. How can you start telling me what to do? But because of his humility, he agreed. He went and dipped himself in the River Jordan, the dead river. And by the grace of God and the goodness of God, he got healed. amen, his problem was solved. Hallelujah. Because of his humility. Humility is key. We need to be asking for humility all the time as children of God. Say, Lord, give me more of your humility and take away the spirit of pride in me. Because that pride could be another big snare that can affect our relationship with Jesus. We need to be humble. Hallelujah. Five things that I picked as I conclude. Five things that I picked that can help us to change our lives despite the challenges that we are facing today. Number one, we need to embrace the Word of God as the instrument of change. The Word of God is key. Number two, let the Word of God that is planted in your heart today, hallelujah, that is planted in your heart, be truly be able to change us. Number three, allow the Holy Spirit to use the word of God in order to bring peace in your heart. Number four, we need to realize how undeserving we are when we receive when we receive answers to our prayers that we are offering to God. Amen. We need to acknowledge, to say we are very undeserving. It's just by the grace of God that God answer our prayers. And number five, the last one, don't listen to the temptations to act out of character. And don't listen to the temptations to act out of character. And when temptation comes, let the Word of God help us to overcome that temptation. Amen. The last words that I've just mentioned about changing, I heard it from the man of God, Prophet T.B. Joshua. And these words touched me to say, indeed, when we are going through difficult times, when we are going through challenges in life, could be social challenges, financial challenges, whatever challenges you may think of, the challenges of life or fundamental issues of life, we need to embrace the Word of God. Let us turn to God. Let us read the Word of God. Meditate upon the Word of God. Let us allow this Word that we are reading, that we are sharing, be it at the group meetings, be it in church, be it maybe listening to someone preaching on television or on social media, embrace that word. Let it remain in our hearts. And let us use the Word of God to turn away from anything that is distracting our lives. And always to remember that the Holy Spirit is there to help us. The Holy Spirit is there to guide us. The Holy Spirit is there as our commander, as our comforter, as our leader in everything that we do. May the Lord bless this word that we've shared. Let us pray. Father Lord, we thank you that you are a good God. Indeed, you are a wonderful God. You are a faithful God. You are so reliable, Lord Almighty. Thank you for the word that we've shared on our genuine willingness to follow you. To receive you and to follow you. Father, we thank you for this word because you are a good teacher. And you know, Lord, our weaknesses. Father, Lord, we commit this word into your hands that, Lord, help us to change, to submit and to surrender our hearts unto you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be like you, to emulate your ways. Help us, Lord, to do things that please you, that bring honor and glory to you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that indeed you are our good shepherd. Thank you, Jesus, that indeed you are our leader. Thank you, Jesus, that indeed you are our Savior. You are the solution to all the problems that we are encountering today as individuals, as families, as a nation, and as a world. Father, let your perfect will be done in our lives, in this church, as it is in heaven. We thank you, Jesus. Bless us, Lord, this week. Go with us, my Father. Guide us and lead us. And Father, we pray even for those that are celebrating their birthday today. Lord, we commit them into your hands. We thank you for their lives. Even those that are celebrating their birthday in the course of this week, my Father. Father, may the good work that we've started in their lives continue, my Lord, to manifest in their lives. May you guide them, may you lead them, may you mold them and shape them. And may they continue, Lord, to celebrate life, life that comes from you, not from the enemy. We thank you, Jesus. We bless your holy name. And we honor your name. It is in your mighty name, Father, that we have prayed with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. God bless you.
Thanks, Daniel. Well, I think there's been lots said and shared today, so
stop the gate control.